B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
You know, just quickly as we come back here with Motley Crue, Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I know this usually this band is probably not your cup of tea, Chris. But
no. I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but I mean, I know Motley Crue.
Well, they were scheduled to play Fenway Park this coming week. It was on the 17th. A good friend of mine had paid through the nose, like, you know, almost front row tickets. I think Motley Crue is his favorite band of all time. Grew up loving the Crue, kid. And I've seen them live a few times. And I know a lot of people were upset because, you know, the Crue at Fenway was going to be a hell of a time. It was, I think it was them, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett. It was a whole
thing. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it was going to be a whole thing. When's the last time you guys saw them? If you were upset about not seeing Motley Crue, when's the last time you saw them? Because the last time I saw them up in New Hampshire at, I think it's the UNH Arena, whatever they call it, Manchester now.
Oh, like the Whitmore Arena or whatever it is?
It's whatever the big one is downtown. It's had a million different names.
Oh, the Manchester one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen the Durham, New Hampshire one.
I saw them 5 years ago. Like, Vince Neil, he waddles. The man can't even walk. Like, it's been a life of excess for all the members of Motley Crue. You know, anyone with, anyone knows that, I think, at this point. But Vince Neil, more than any of the other members, has completely given up. And the man is a moose. And you're not missing much because he can barely sing and he can barely walk. So it's better that you got your refund and you didn't see this show. I assure you of
Are
that.
Are you sure?
Chris,
can you just close your eyes, though, when it sounds like the 80s? It sounds the same? Or
Chris.
Is it Bobby Brown bad? Because Bobby Brown, like, if you see Bobby Brown perform anything, if he does anything with New Edition or anything on his own, like, clearly, you know, what's happened is his nasal cavity has imploded due to the cocaine. And it's like, he sounds terrible.
And you look at my Instagram. I think it was just 2 summers ago, maybe 3. Bobby Brown was in the lobby here because he was doing an interview with our friends over at Hut 96.9. Yeah, he don't look good either.
And I know.
He reeked of brown liquor. but I was happy to get the photo because it's, you know, Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
The man was a legend.
Definitely.
And, you know, laid a lot of pipe in the early 90s and, like, just, you know, just wrote tons of hits. Like, My Prerogative, all that stuff. Like,
His remake of Don't Be Cruel is one of my
amazing.
I Don't Be Cruel.
But now,
I love that.
Oh yeah, no, he's like the R&B version of Vince Neil. I assure you,
it's that bad.
You're not, Chris. Like I remember laughing to my friend because it's the same friend that was going to the show. No, kickstart my heart, man. Like, it was literally this. Whoa! Puts the microphone out to the crowd because he needs them to say yeah. Kickstart my. I'd never ever. Whoa. Yeah. Like he needs the crowd to sing because the man can't move and he can't sing. So I trust me. Trust your pal. You're lucky you got your money back and you weren't going to see the Crue coming up here. I would think it would have been the 17th at Fenway Park. You're lucky you got your money back.
But how do you know? He might have used quarantine to get back in shape.
Yeah. Yes. Well, as the rest of the world is using this time to just eat and stare at their televisions, I'm sure that Vince Neil has been the model citizen and said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get back in shape, man, so I can get me some chicks. Like, there's no, he's probably bigger. If he was 280, he's probably past 3 at this point.
Yeah. Are you saying he's the Pablo Sandoval of 80s hair metal?
That picture showed up of Pablo Sandoval looking Pablo Sandoval this week, and then you had that athletic writer, doing the mea culpa for that. And it's like, dude, you know why you posted that photo. You know why. And then you got some blowback, and it got co-opted by Jared Carabas of Barstool, and apparently, like, the world needs to hate Barstool now, so you feel bad about it. Like, it was a whole thing. That pissed me off. I talked about it earlier in the week. But, yeah, in terms of size, Vince Neil, Pablo Sandoval, one in the same.
Oh, that's tough.
Where were we? Oh, so you stepped into it with Rex Burkhead stands. I didn't think that they were such a thing, but maybe it's just proof. Patriots fans, by and large, the whiniest fan base. God forbid you ever say anything critical about any of the players, the coach, anything regard to the team. But he took a pay cut this week.
He did.
So that they could adjust some money, do the Cam Newton signing. But what happened here? Because I know you've, as it is, and I've warned you against this, you know, because usually you would just occasionally dip your toe in social media on Twitter.
Yeah.
And post something. It was usually informative. But now, a lot of Chris Gasper on Twitter all of a sudden, which I get, you know. It's
new job.
Yeah, new job. You got to promote it and all that kind of stuff. But, boy, you put one critical thing out there, and I thought it was, you know, what you said was correct, but he takes the pay cut, and you've said what you've said since day one about Rex Burkhead.
Exactly.
Is that you just kind of don't get it with this guy.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't get. I think that they overrate the player. I'm not saying the player has no value. I just think the team overrates his value, and I think the fan base overrates his value. And I think people really took umbrage with the comparison to J.D. Drew, which I think a lot of people don't understand the historical reference. And let me explain it. When Theo Epstein, who had lusted after J.D. Drew for a while, and J.D. Drew at that time in his career was obviously a good player, all-star player, but he was sort of the poster child for sabermetrics and analytics, you know, saying here's this guy and what he does really well and why he's a really efficient player and maybe why he's an undervalued player even. And Bob Ryan on the teleconference with Theo Epstein when they signed him said, you know, this his question was essentially to Theo, what's the fascination with J.D. Drew? And so that's always stuck in my mind. What's the fascination with dot, dot, dot? And so I will literally replace J.D. Drew's name with, it could be when Gigi Datome was playing for the Celtics, I would write, what's the fascination with Gigi Datome? So that's where the J.D. Drew, and I said in my tweet, you know, Rex Burkhead is J.D. Drew light. And why I said J.D. Drew light is because obviously the contract's not the same and, you know, it's not sort of the same level of investment in the player, but he's J.D. Drew light in this idea of what's the fascination with this guy. And I just can't think of another team or fan base that is this obsessed with essentially a third or fourth string running back, and he will be fourth string. If he's not fourth string, you wasted a third round pick on Damian Harris. I mean, because you have Sony Michel, you should have Damian Harris.
All of what, six snaps last year?
Yeah, and you have the best third down back in the league in James White. And people say, oh, he can do all these different things. He can, yes, but it's like Sony Michel's a better runner than he is. James White is a better pass catcher than he is. And Brandon Bolden is a better special teams running back than
he really
he is.
So
again, what's the fascination? And I've never seen people defend a guy so much who's never rushed for 345 yards in a single season, who's missed 17 games since he's been here. I'm not saying the guy's a bum. I'm just saying I don't get it. And then people started bringing up the touchdowns he scored in the AFC Championship game in 2018, which those touchdowns could have been scored by Patrick Pass, J.R. Redmond, Antoine Smith, Jonas Green. I could go on. They would have been Jarvis Greenhouse. They could have handed it off to any running back. But as great as everybody thinks he was that postseason, Jim, do you know that if you look at it, I'm just going to name the following players who ran for more yards in the postseason than Rex Burkhead in 2018. Sony Michel, he ran for more yards. James White ran for more yards. Let me make sure I have these stats correct. No, that's regular season, so I don't have these stats
correct. As you're looking them up anyway, I'm just not a big believer in blind loyalty in any aspect of life, whether it's political, but even with sports, too. And on one aspect, like, I get it, but it's not for me. I think it's okay to be objective about, you know, your team and specific players, and I'm with you. Like, Rex Burkhead, like, he's mostly just an injury liability more than anything else.
And he fumbles,
and I don't get it. Like,
I don't
it was
get
like,
the fascination.
It was like, you know, Jay Crowder with the Bridgie Celtics. Like,
yes, that is a great analogy. He is like the Jay Crowder of the – I mean, good player.
Yeah.
Don't mind having him on my team.
And I don't even really mind the overconfidence. You know, like a guy that's mostly been a bench player that's trying to get more reps and actually becomes a pseudo star for a team. Like, hey, you know, get it, man. But, like, also kind of know your role. And in terms of the fans, like – are you people delusional? Like, I just...
Well, he's like a third or fourth string running back. Like, how are you that invested in a third or fourth string running back? And also, the same people who are that invested in a third or fourth string running back will be the ones that call up and tell you that back lives don't matter, that running backs are not, like, a thing anymore in the NFL. So the running backs aren't a thing. You don't want to overpay for them. Oh, look at the stupid team over here with the Giants drafting Saquon Barkley number two. Look at the stupid Cowboys paying Ezekiel Elliott. Oh, the Patriots would never do anything like that. But then all of a sudden, it's like, well, what's the best part of the offense? Oh, it's all the running backs we have. I mean, have you seen our third string running back, Rex Burkhead? It's like, come on.
I think it might be their most overrated position that they have on this team. Like, it's chock full of, like, okay, players. As we were just discussing Bobby Brown, let's get to this call.
Oh,
Terry in
good,
the car. Hello, Terry.
Hi. I have to say I love both of you, and it's so nice to listen to you. But I wanted to say that I saw on a YouTube video from the show Lip Sync Battle with LL Cool J, Loni Love did my prerogative, and at the end of it, Bobby Brown came out, and I did not even recognize him. And I grew up in Boston in that, you know, heyday of Bobby Brown, New Edition. And he had a baseball cap pulled down, like, over his face, a white shirt, jeans. You can see it on YouTube. He couldn't even sing. It was so bad. I was like, what happened to him? He looked overweight. He just looked awful. And he could barely get the words out to my prerogative.
Yeah, it's sad, Terry. Sad. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, and gals, that, you know, they work in the music industry. They dance for the people. You know, I mean that in more ways than one. For years and years and years, and then they're the brightest star, and then the star falls, and they fall victim to excess. I would be no different. It's why I could never be rich. You know, it's why I could never have made it as a musician or anything like that, because I would have fallen victim to these same things. I would have had a it's like when I was mocking how Dr. Fauci sounds like the guitarist from Poison, CC DeVille.
I love
that. It was the House of Whores. It was the House of Hollis. Like, I relate to that because if I was ever put in that position, the same thing would have happened. So, yes, yeah, Bobby Brown and Vince Neil, lead singer of Motley Crue, one and the same. So don't feel bad that you're missing out on that show this week. Like, oh, man, I was going to go see the Crue at Fenway. You would have wasted your money.
But we did solve last week that the Cherry Pie girl, Warren Cherry Pie, has actually aged pretty well, right?
Bobby Brown. Bobby with an eye, Brown.
Yes, right?
She has, yeah. Yep.
So that was good.
Yeah. You know, so not
that
all.
That made me feel better.
Yeah. Not every star from the 80s and 90s has turned into a complete drunken disaster. Bobby Brown is, yes, she is someone that can be held high and say, you know what, Bobby with an eye, Brown, you made it.
And what about Tani Katayan? How's she doing these days?
Is
that not good? Well, while you're looking that up, I'm curious, how much do you think Vince Neil charges on Cameo, and is it more than you?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Chris, and people are going to think this is a setup. Let's take a Cameo call here from Liz in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Liz.
Hey, thank you so much, Jim, for doing the Cameo you did last night for me, for my sister and my brother-in-law for their anniversary. It was amazing.
Yeah. Down in the
FYI,
Carolina.
I would have paid you triple.
Well, I guess I'm underselling myself, but thank you.
I know. But they love you. They live in North Carolina right now, and you're their favorite. And so mission accomplished with a message I wanted you to get across to them, which was to get on the Cam train, and now they are. And my sister is on Cam's Instagram now, and she's all in it. So I want to thank you for that. They were just, like, beyond. They love you, and they're so thrilled. So I really appreciate it, but I definitely would have paid you triple.
Thank you, Liz. Another satisfied Cameo customer, courtesy of the kid. The best $15 you'll spend. So,
best bang for the buck on Cameo.
Thank you very much, B-Rob. So it doesn't matter what Vince Neil is charging, even if it's $109.99. I don't know if he's on there trying to, hey, it's it's Vince. Catch me and the Crue out there this summer, man. I mean, he's a moose. I'm telling you right now, I saw him 5 years ago. There's no way he's in better shape. It's better that you missed this show this week. But for $15, I'll give you more than Vince Neil. With that, we'll be back after this here on Gasper and Murray 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray 98.5, The Sports Hub. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray 98.5, The Sports Hub. Chris just had to run out for a sec, but he had asked me before the commercial break how Tani Katayan was doing. You know, as we were talking about fallen stars of the 80s and 90s. And Tani Katayan, as I figured, very much resembles Jocelyn Wildenstein. You know who that is? She's the...
No, who's that?
Cat Lady, as she's often referred to,
because
she's had so much plastic surgery.
Oh,
she was a New York socialite.
Yes.
Tani Katayan, Jocelyn Wildenstein, kind of one and the same. So that's what's happened to old Tani Katayan from the
Now, she was married to Chuck Finley, right? The former Angels pitcher?
Chuck Finley, also with the lead singer of Whitesnake, whose name escapes me at the moment. But, yeah, she was actually arrested for domestic violence with Chuck Finley, or it was a DUI or something like that.
Really?
Like, that was a very tumultuous relationship, yeah, if I recall.
Whitesnake, I remember them. Not bad.
Yeah, they were okay. Very much a Zeppelin knockoff.
What were their hits again?
Here I go again.
Yeah, that's
on
it.
My own.
That's, I knew that was them. Okay.
What was the... Yeah, that's the other only one that I can think of right now. Frank the Tank, as we were talking about Cam Newton, who I believe is, not believe, I know, is going to be the starting quarterback of the Patriots in 2020. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, hey, boys. The guy's name is David Coverdale, and their other hit was Still of the Night.
Yeah, Still of the Night. Yeah, it's like 8 minutes long. Like, all right, enough with the guitar solos, but go ahead.
Yeah, look, just on Newton, it's kind of a two-part thing. One, does he have the touch to find a guy like Julian Edelman in the slot? Does he have the touch to, you know, hit a running back, which I think he probably does. And considering the fact that he does have a big arm and he can throw the deep ball, in fairness to him, do we have the kind of receivers that are going to be able to catch that deep ball? You know what I mean with him? And if I can I talk about DeSean Jackson for a second?
Yeah, go nuts.
All right, look, I completely feel that humanity are just parasites on this mud ball. I really do. I mean, I literally do not discriminate against anyone. I hate all people. This is why, you know, athletes, actors, and musicians, to me, are part of the three Ds, the three douchebags. And actors and musicians top the list. But athletes are right behind them in their narcissistic, you know, way of thinking that, like, their opinion matters more than anyone else's or whatever. And, you know, I'm an American. I would die for someone's right to say whatever they want. But for the love of God, do your research before you spout off some crap like that and offend a complete group of people. And, like, you know, think it's okay. And then, you know, you get Shannon Sharpe, who's another moron, defending him almost with what he said. I mean, come on, people. Can you just go and just, you know, talk to your neighbor? I feel like nobody does that anymore. Just go talk to your neighbor and get to know them and, you know, hopefully have a beer with them, share a blunt, and maybe everybody will just get along instead of just, you know, trying to be at each other's throats. I mean, Jesus, let it all go.
Frank, great call.
Yeah, great call, doing. Frank. And I thought those comments by DeSean Jackson were reprehensible and ignorant. And, you know, he really needed to shut his mouth and get educated. First of all, it should be an immediate tip off to you when you're quoting Adolf Hitler that you probably shouldn't be using that quote to make any sort of point you're trying to make. And I don't even know what his point was.
Just as an aside,
I found the whole thing highly offensive. What a moron.
And did you do a deep dive on this thing too? So apparently it's a quote that's attributed to Hitler, but it doesn't actually exist. It's in a book that I think was written by a black Israelite. It wasn't something that actually Hitler said. It's attributed to him. So it was like the whole thing was very convoluted. Yeah. Dumb. I do think that he's, based on what I'm reading, like that he's handled it as best as he possibly can.
Yes, he's definitely been contrite.
Post-blowback, sure. Talking with Julian Edelman. He's met and talked with Holocaust survivors. So at least he's trying to do the right thing. So I give him credit there. I'm glad he's, you know, there was a fine, and I think there should have been a punishment by the Eagles, and good.
My only question,
I don't want him losing his gig, though.
Yeah, I don't either. But I would say this, like, you know, here's my question with the Eagles. And I honestly don't know the answer. I'm asking. I'd have to go back and look at it. Are they doing the same things for him that they did to Riley Cooper when Riley Cooper dropped the N-word? Are they handling it the same way? Or are they handling it differently?
Did he just get fined at that time?
They didn't cut him. So, yeah. You know, I don't know the answer. We certainly can look it up. I think they fined him. And actually, you know what? Someone brought up to me, I think Riley Cooper actually got a contract extension. Not obviously because of that, but
right.
I think in the wake of that,
he
got a contract extension.
Yeah. But to what Frank said, can you just have a beer with your neighbor, smoke a blunt? That's now a utopia that I don't think exists anymore, Frank, because social media, the scourge of society and the world, has ruined everything and continues to exacerbate that daily. Mike in Worcester has been hanging a little bit. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
So, on that thing, Big Jim, I'm going to have to tell you, I've seen probably four or five of the last farewell tours for Motley Crue, so they're probably lip-syncing by now, not even singing. They're so awful. Listen, with this thing that's going on with the control of Corona and these, you know, these sports teams and the owners. And I know it gets political and everything else. I would have to say, you know, Big Jim, on your thing talking about depression in the world, I don't think any of these teams are getting off, are going to play any of their seasons. I don't know whether it's just to appease the fan base and show that they're going through the motions. But my question to you, I know, Chris, maybe you know a little more. If Cam Newton, we don't have a season, do we default back to his original contract, or is it the franchise tag that jumps to the next year if we don't have a football season?
If you don't have a season, I think that has to be negotiated between the NFL and the NFLPA. Will they just toll contracts, which is what happens in circumstances okay. where a lot of times a guy sets out his contract will just toll. That means it just rolls over to the next year. So I think that would have to be negotiated between the NFLPA and the NFL. I don't think it's an individual thing between Cam Newton and the Patriots.
Do you have any concerns about the NFL and football in general, you know, actually being able to play this fall?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see what's happening with college football. I mean, you know, now the pandemic's real for me. Now the college football games are being taken off.
Well, schedule. I know the Ivy League was the tipping point in the spring. I just feel like Ivy League football is kind of, it's just so niche that I don't,
yeah.
Maybe I'm sticking my head in the sand. I don't get that concerned about it because, again, just how niche I don't know. It's just kind of like a little accessory, I think, for those schools in terms of, you know, their athletic programs when it comes to football. So yeah. The Ivy League,
I mean, they have a lot of pride in them, but obviously, yeah, I mean, it's all about their academic reputation.
Yeah. Now, this
whereas, like, an Ohio State has no real academic reputation for a career, and it's all about the football.
But if this kind of thing was happening in the SEC, like, then it's freak out time, you know? But,
yeah.
Or Big Ten, whatever. You know.
Well, here's what's interesting to me about this. If I can just, you know, as a side on college football, the Pac-12 yesterday said they're going to go to just conference games only, along with the Big Ten. And the Big Ten sort of fancies itself the Ivy League of the Power Five. Believe it or not, they really do. Like, I forget what there's some college or university association based on academic reputation, and the Big Ten won't let in any school that's not a member of that. That's one of the reasons they brought Rutgers in, is because Rutgers was a member of that academically. So they're doing that. But what I think you could see is a cultural divide. I could see, much like how we're culturally divided on how to combat the coronavirus in this country, the same thing in college football, where the SEC and the Big 12, and you know where those schools are located,
yeah.
They basically say, no, like, we're going to go ahead, and not only are we going to play our conference games, but if we have any games scheduled against each other, or if we lost any games to any of these other conferences, we're going to replace them with games against each other.
Well, we opened today with the update on Kemba Walker's knee yesterday from Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics. Didn't sound good, and we have a further update on that knee today from Brad Stevens. We'll get to that coming up next, along with your phone calls here on Gasper Murray, 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Looking for name? This is Gasper and Murray. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So if you weren't with us to start the 10 o'clock hour, you can always listen on the podcast, 98.5sportshub.com, or via the app anytime, or your Alexa smart speaker. We started by talking about Kemba Walker's knee, because I thought it was interesting. You know, all those that cover the team, like Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who's producing the show, as he usually is, reporting yesterday, Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics, out of the bubble. After the first practice, saying that, well, they're going to go, in the quote is, very slowly with Kemba Walker in terms of ramping up his knee. So it's like, okay, that's concerning, considering that they've basically had 4 months off. And I thought, like most people, health wasn't going to be an issue here. This was actually a good thing, this layoff for Kemba Walker. What the hell's going on here? Well, this morning, it's day two of practice for the Celtics in the bubble. And lo and behold, don't sound good. What's the latest there, B-Rob?
Yeah, so Brad Stevens just was asked more about the knee situation and pretty much confirmed that Kemba Walker, the plan is for Kemba Walker to be on a minutes limit for the seeding games, and the hope is that they'll be able to ramp him up enough and strengthen enough that he can, you know, be full go for the playoffs. But it's clearly they're kind of putting him in bubble wrap here, it sounds like.
He's had basically 4 months to give time off on the knee, to rehab, if you will. But Brian Robb telling you Brad Stevens says Kemba Walker going to have a minutes restriction in all likelihood when the seeding games begin. And that should, keyword, should be lifted by the playoffs. Not good. Not good. Sounds like, well, don't be surprised when you hear that Kemba Walker goes under the knife here or doesn't complete this bubble season or the playoffs. Like, and I, you know, Jimmy Stewart, our producer on Felger and Mass, has had this for a while now. Like, this assumption that Kemba Walker's fine. The layoff has been good for his knee. And Jimmy just tweeting this, too. Kemba needed rehab. Only so many home rehab activities he can do when he's locked out of professional offices. And I think that's an informed tweet from Jimmy. Like, he's plugged in with the Celtics. Won't tell me who his damn source is. But this ain't great. Like, I'm not going to be shocked at all if Kemba Walker really doesn't even, you know, get involved in this after a couple of games, or he tweaks it again and bang, that's it. And you're dealing with Brad Wanamaker for the Celtics. Is
yeah, I mean, again, the Celtics' history with this is not good in terms of, you know, they have a tendency to underplay, downplay these types of injuries. It raises a red flag for me when I hear, like, minutes restriction. It raised a red flag yesterday when you had the comments from Brad Stevens about Kemba and his knee and having to go slow with it. It's in direct opposition to what Kemba said himself when he was on the Zoom call. And so now you sort of feel like they're hiding something, you know? Look, maybe it'll all work out. Certainly, it's all about the playoffs here, so you don't want to exhaust the guy or exacerbate an injury in these eight games jockeying for seeding. You need him for the playoffs. But at the same time, this is going to be a relatively compact schedule, and I have some real questions and concerns about his ability to make it all the way through this and his ability to bounce back on a game-to-game basis. And I think a lot of the optimism, Jim, around the Celtics and their ability to compete for Banner 18 here in the bubble is based on the fact that they have, you know, four guys who are 20-point-per-game scorers. Well, that's not going to be the case if Kemba can't play or if he's not healthy, which is what we saw in the last nine games he played. He shot 32.4% from the field, 31.9% from three, and averaged 16.3 points per game. Even if he plays and that's the guy they get, they're not getting out of the East with that.
Yeah, no, it's
true. That's not good enough.
It's not. So, you know, you add this with Gordon Hayward, who's already told everybody, like, look, come September when my wife has the fourth child, I'm out. And then he's going to have to quarantine for X amount of time. So he would miss.
Well, oh, by the way, not to interrupt you, but he said his foot's still bothering him.
Oh, when did that pop up?
B-Rob, he said, he's like, I don't know why, I don't know what it is, but he said the left foot is still bothering
him. Yeah, I asked him about it.
Yep.
To see, the time off gave you, you know, it feels better now. He's like, no, I kind of still feel it during workouts.
Oh, get out of here. Oh. So this time off has done nothing to help this team heal. Oh my God. Oh, that's not good. So, because again, I like much like with the Jared Stidham narrative, it's going to be the starting quarterback. Fine, I'm buying the reporting. I've bought into the time off will help the Celtics. They're going to be healed up. They have as good a chance of anyone to come out of the East. Now with this a minutes restriction already, we're talking about that with Kemba Walker and the foot still bothering Gordon Hayward. Oh, good. Oh, you know, how very 2020. That's excellent. Back to the Cam Newton conversation with Junior in the car. Junior, we call the dog Indiana. Go ahead, Junior.
What's up?
Hey, how are you?
What'd you say about the dog?
It's a Raiders of the Lost Ark reference, Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay. I love this show. The chemistry that you two have is impeccable. It's the best show on the radio, so I really enjoy this.
Clip that. Put it in a promo, B-Rod.
Yeah. I'll ahead. Do that, and I'll sign. Yeah. I think Cam Newton, I would bet the under on the Pats this year. Belichick's never won a playoff game without Brady, and Cam was only had three winning seasons out of nine when he was with Carolina. I think instead of him showing his workout videos, we all know he's physically strong and he should be showing videos of studying tape. That's the most important thing in this offense, and knowing the structure of the defense he's playing against, those types of things. And I was triggered and offended by that band that you mentioned with the singer David Coverdale.
Oh, I get you. Very good, Junior. Yes.
So just on Cam, he did have the Instagram thing where he tweeted out.
Yeah, to his credit, where he's like nose in the playbook.
Yeah.
And
I think he said, you know, this stuff calculus or something like that, right?
Yeah. So, and I think that I took that as a positive. Some people didn't. And this is actually coming from me, the eternal pessimist. That shows me, like, his commitment to, I think he loves football. I think it's, you know, he wants to learn.
I was told that.
Yeah.
They're very high on his football IQ and his passion.
And that shows his commitment. He's already got his notes in the playbook. You see that he's working out with N'Keal Harry, Devin Asiasi, one of the tight ends.
Mohamed Sanu.
That they drafted, yeah. So, like, you know, he's putting in the work. That's all good. I do agree with the caller, though, in take some of the videos and how he looks aesthetically with a grain of salt. I said this yesterday on Felger and Maz. When I worked down in Atlanta, station I had, we covered the Falcons, obviously. It was the year that they signed Steven Jackson. I show up to camp, you know, try to get sound, meet some of the players, all that kind of stuff. Steven Jackson was the most impressive human being I've ever stood next to in my entire life, like carved out of stone. He was also washed up, like, at that point because, you know, the Rams ran him into the ground, literally. So take that with a grain of salt. Like, there's real injury concerns here with Cam Newton, and the shoulder, more than anything else, is what you're concerned of.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we had a call earlier, I think it was Frank, who was talking about the deep ball, and yeah, traditionally that's Cam Newton, but he had surgery on that rotator cuff after the 18 season, and then he had another cleanup after the 19 season, and the last year he played where it was like a close to a full season, you know, that was, I'm sorry, it was after the 17 season and then after the 18 season. He had the cleanup. So the last year he played, 18, he played 14 games. There were at least three times that year they had to bring in the backup quarterback to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah,
to throw a Hail Mary. So, like, his shoulder, that I'm more concerned about the shoulder than I am about the foot. Hopefully the shoulder's right. But here's where I'm positive about this. Again, I can't think of another team in the league that would be a better fit or an offense that would be a better fit for a quarterback whose ability to throw the football down the field is compromised than this one here in New England. The offense they run, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, dink and dunk. And if he can be accurate within that offense, I think it helps him. It will help him extend his career. I said this yesterday on Felger and Maz, Jim. He's like the flame-throwing pitcher that came in throwing 99 and 100 and now can only throw 93, 94. He has to reinvent himself and make an adjustment. But 93, 94 is still good enough to get the job done if you have something else in your bag. So now he needs to put something else in his bag. And just one more point on Cam Newton. I know people are saying, I don't want to see the videos, I don't want to see this. But I would just caution you on this. When Tom Brady was not doing anything last year, was not really participating at all in the offseason program, people were upset. They said they wanted a quarterback who was engaged, who was working with guys. Well, here's a quarterback who's doing engaged, working with guys, and the videos are getting put up, and Cam's not the one posting all these videos, but he has jumped in with both feet and been the quarterback you want in terms of his dedication and connecting with guys. So you can't have it both ways. You know, on the one hand, you're saying with Brady, I want to see he's dedicated. I want him showing up. Here's Cam Newton in an offseason where you can't do anything within the structure of the team, and he's going out of his way as soon as he signs to make sure he connects with teammates and make sure that he does stuff. And it's like, well, I'm seeing too many videos of the guy. So which is it? And would the response be the same if this were Tom Brady, your quarterback, wearing the Patriots uniform, doing all these things, as it is to Cam Newton, who I think comes here to Boston with a certain amount of skepticism based on his personality, not his ability, but based on his personality, where people feel like maybe this guy doesn't have a Patriot type of personality. Maybe he's too outspoken. Maybe he's too flamboyant. Maybe he, quote unquote, just doesn't look like the type of quarterback that we have. And I'll say this. I think the whole prism of how the quarterback position is evaluated in the NFL, the quarterbacks are corporate and they look like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And that's the whole prism through which that position is evaluated. They don't look like Cam Newton. And I think you get my drift.
Yeah. Oh, he's a different dude in a lot of ways. So I think that, you know, based on what we've had here the last 20 years, really, I mean, forever with the Patriots, it's different. People buck to different. It's going to be taken a lot of ways. Like,
yeah,
you know, if he can, but just in terms of the injury, though, so if the shoulder's a thing, like, I get what you mean. Like, I do think he's smart dude, cares about football. He learns the playbook, like all that. Like, if he can do the, might be a bad analogy, but like the Pedro game 5, 99 against Cleveland type of thing, like, you know, if you're savvy enough, you can work around it. You don't have to have your fastball. You don't have to have your deep ball for Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And in this offense, like you say, death by a thousand paper cuts, like, smart enough dude, you can make the plays. Like, you don't have to be able to throw it deep anymore. Like, you can get around it if you're a smart enough, savvy enough guy. I think he is. I'd like to think.
I'll tell you, they think he is. I mean, one of the things they feel is that he has a high football IQ. That's what I was told.
617-779-0985. If you want to join us, coming up, long commercial-free segment, continue the Cam Newton conversation. conversation if you would like. Also want to touch on some of the NFL stuff that has come out over the last few days in terms of, well, when they try to get their sport going again, and how some of the players were upset about, like, they can't exchange jerseys post-game anymore, and the contradiction in terms of them tackling each other but then can't touch each other and give away jerseys after the game, like that whole thing. We'll get to that coming up next here. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sometimes nothing beats a classic. Miller Lite, the original light beer.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So some of the stuff coming out as the NFL and football tries to, you know, get on the same page and, you know, figure out how they're going to try to play their respective sports, college football, you know, fall athletics. But the NFL, the NFL, I think, is going to hammer through no matter what because of how much money that they make and how much money is at stake for sponsors, you know, TV rights holders, all of that. You know, even in the face of the pandemic, they're going to find a way. At least that's what I'd like to think. But some of the stuff that's popped out this week in that, you know, they're going to ask the players to not exchange jerseys post-game, which I kind of feel is a contradiction in regard to the fact that the game involves tackling, blocking, huddling, all of that. They're going to be close to each other. What did you make of some of the stuff that came out from the NFL this week? Is that, look, you're just trying to control what you can control. They can't control in-game contact, but can control what happens after the game is over. Because there was a lot of blowback from guys like Richard Sherman and some of the outspoken players in the NFL about this kind of thing. And it's like, well, it doesn't make much sense. And I side with them on this. Like, that just, it's like, what are you doing? Like, your game involves a lot of contact. I don't understand why you wouldn't be able to exchange jerseys or kind of, you know, do the old attaboy after a game.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to control what they can control and limit contact as much as they can. I mean, honestly, is it hypocritical? Yes. Is it contradictory? Yes. But do you expect the NFL to acknowledge or admit the real health risk in playing their game? No, they're going to minimize that because they want to play, and they're going to amplify things that are relatively innocuous, like guys exchanging jerseys and, you know, whatever. But look, the society we live in now and what's happening with coronavirus, we all know. You know, I went out to dinner with a business associate last night, and you can't shake their hand. You know, you do the elbow thing. So people have been used to this for months. I see what the players are saying, and they're right. It is hypocrisy by the NFL. But also, shouldn't they just be used to this by now? Like, you really thought you were going to be able to go out there and sit in the prayer circle and hold hands after the game like you normally do? Or you're going to be able to dap guys up and hug them up after a game? I mean, no. I mean, would you do that in the if you ran into someone you knew in the street, would you do that? And I'll be honest with you. You know, you probably disagree with me. I am a little bit of a coronavirus snitch. But when I saw Cam Newton dap up N'Keal Harry the other day at that workout, I was like, no. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. You guys are in L.A. You're in L.A. County where they've had to shut down the bars again and where cases are spiking. No, you can't. You can't do that right now. So that's where I'm coming from on it.
And we were talking about college football and, you know, whether or not the Ivy League canceling all their fall activities this week is, you know, going to be the tipping point for the Power Five schools going forward. Kelsey in Cambridge with a thought. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. It's always great to listen to you guys on a Saturday driving down to the Cape.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
First plug for the ACC. I think they're definitely the Ivies of the Power Five. But I just wanted to kind of call and talk about the schedule for college football and how the SEC and the ACC, even the Big 12, should kind of more look to chat with each other and try to figure out a way how can the three conferences create a schedule within each other. Because the fact that you're going to have South Carolina travel to A&M but can't play Clemson is just, to me, ridiculous. So also it can kind of settle the debate once and for all if Clemson actually belongs in the conversation with all the SEC teams. So that's kind of what I have to say, and just interested to hear your thoughts on what you think those schedules might actually end up looking like.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, we know where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are. They're just going to play interconference games. They're not going to play any interconference games. They're not going to play outside of their conference. The SEC, I know, has a meeting coming up this week. From what you're reading, from some of the college football people down there. They're not thrilled with the Big Ten's decision and sort of feel like their hand is being forced. Bob Bowlsby, who's the commissioner of the Big 12, has called what the Big Ten has done interesting. It sounds like the Big 12, I could see the Big 12 and the SEC. The Big 12 and the SEC already have a partnership. They play a Big 12 SEC challenge thing in college basketball. I think they have a setup in college football with some games. And also the way the Sugar Bowl's linked up is it's supposed to be Big 12 versus SEC. I could see them forming some sort of partnership to fill in some games that are out of conference. I don't know what's going to happen with the ACC because it's such a wide cross-section geographically. As Kelsey pointed out, you do have schools like Clemson, but then you have schools like Boston College and Syracuse and Pittsburgh. What are they going to decide to do?
What's holier than that? What's happening with holier than thou Notre Dame?
So Notre Dame is part of the ACC. Obviously, they're not in a conference, but they're part of the ACC for sports other than football. The ACC has pledged to them that they will, you know, keep their games with Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame has five ACC football games. The ACC is saying we'll keep those games and we'll help you with some other scheduling stuff. So I don't know how Notre Dame would fill out the rest of their schedule. Maybe they'd have to do it with Big 12 or SEC schools that are willing to play.
They should put the screws to them. Now, granted, I have a Notre Dame bias, but you know, tell them you can only play ACC opponents this year. Commit to being a permanent member. Like enough with the, oh, we're Notre Dame. We're above it all. Ugh. Oh God. And I'll never.
You don't like that?
Yeah, I can't stand it. That's school and people. And I'll never. Is it the Irish thing? How many people around here like with their affiliation with Notre Dame? You didn't go there.
They call it the Subway alumni.
Oh,
you see
God.
It. It's Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, cities that have a lot of Irish Americans. They take a lot of pride in Notre Dame, and that's always been part of Notre Dame's appeal. Is that they are in urban environments where college football maybe wouldn't be very big. They have a big following and a very big fan base. I did find this Big Ten thing I wanted to talk about where I was saying they fancy themselves sort of the Ivy League of the Power Five. All their institutions, with the exception of Nebraska, are members of something called the Association of American Universities, which is a rather prestigious organization. It has to do with like research and stuff. And the Big Ten is really adamant that all their schools, in fact, I thought it was all the schools. I didn't know Nebraska wasn't a member of it, but they're really adamant that all their schools academically be members of this Association of American Universities.
We got an hour to go here on Gasper and Murray. We will kick off that hour right after the Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.